The scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 107. Psalm 107, we'll read the first 9 verses. Give thanks to the Lord because He is good, because His faithfulness and His love last forever. That's what those who are redeemed by the Lord say, the ones God redeemed from the power of their enemies, the ones God gathered from various countries, from east and west, north and south. Some of the redeemed had wandered into the desert, into the wasteland. They couldn't find their way to a city or town. They were hungry and thirsty. Their lives were slipping away. So they cried to the Lord in their distress, and God delivered them from their desperate conditions. God led them straight to human habitation. Let them thank the Lord for His faithful love and His wondrous works for all people, because God satisfied the one who was parched with thirst and filled up the hungry with good things. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Are you ready for Thanksgiving? I'm not asking if you have your turkey yet or if you dug out your comfy pants. I'm asking if you're prepared to engage in giving thanks. In a day of so much consumerism and materialism, we spend an inordinate amount of time wanting stuff. Our often exaggerated desire leads us to spend much of the remaining time trying to get the things we think we want. How much time does that leave to give thanks for what we have? Can giving thanks be fit into one single day? Remember, much of that day, Thanksgiving, is going to be spent preparing a meal that offers more of what everyone wants on Thanksgiving tables. Then there's football, am I right? Is there any time to be thankful on Thanksgiving Day? Do we even know how to give thanks properly? Martin Copenhaver, writing in a United Church of Christ daily devotion, has said, "Children need to be reminded to offer thanks, because no one is born grateful. Thankfulness does not come naturally to us, and sometimes it does not come at all. Rather, thankfulness must be nurtured." And obviously, children are not the only ones whose thanks need to be prompted. As parents, we do prompt our children what to say in response to acts of kindness or gifts they receive. They know the script, and so do we. Someone gives them a gift or a compliment, and as parents, we tell them, "What do you say?" And our kids, following the prompt, respond by saying, "Thank you." We've taught them what to say, but have we taught them how to be thankful? Is thankfulness simply saying the words, "Thank you"? I mean, how do we give thanks? Even in worship this morning, we follow the script. We glorify it by calling it a liturgy. On a good day, these generalities may well be something with which we can identify. But there's something about being thankful that suggests it should be more personal than giving and signing your name to a group thank you card. We could attend a Thanksgiving worship service like today, in person or virtually, without anyone knowing our personal story. No one would know how God has answered our prayers for help. We have taught our children how to say thank you to others who are kind to them. We have even demonstrated to them how to say thank you to God in our worship. But have we demonstrated thankfulness to them? Do we know how to be thankful? Are we good models? Maybe, if Copenhaver is correct, and I think he may be, thankfulness doesn't come naturally to us. Sometimes it doesn't come at all. We need a lesson. We need a lesson in how to more fully express our thankfulness. To whom might we look as our model when it comes to being thankful? The book of Psalms is a collection of hymns and poems and prayers that give us models and instruction on how to respond to the presence or seemingly absence sometimes of God in our lives. The Psalms not only call us to be thankful, they model how we are to give thanks to God. But it seems that thankfulness is more than a lesson to be learned. It is an engaged emotional response to a personal encounter that one has had with God. The best call to give thanks is not by being prompted by a parent or by a liturgy as to what to say. It is rather being inspired by stories of others that trigger a response to add your own story to the string of pearls, to the chorus of thankfulness. To move God's people to thanksgiving, the psalmist tells stories, four stories. We read the first one in which we heard about being lost in a desert in the scripture reading. If we continued reading Psalm 107, we'd see three more stories. A story about being prisoners, one about being ill, and one about being in a storm at sea. The stories enable us to live into Israel's experiences of a love that will never let us go. As different as these stories are, the psalmist tells them in almost perfect parallel form. First, there is a basic explanation of the trouble, followed by a brief elaboration of the depth of their difficulty. That is followed by the exact same response on the part of the sufferers in each story. Then they cried to the Lord in their distress. And in every story, God's response to their cry for help is given in the same words. And God delivered them from their desperate circumstances. Then comes an explanation of exactly what God did to save them. Finally, there is a call to give thanks, repeated verbatim after each and every story, and a concluding line emphasizing why Israel should give thanks or how they're to do that. The only real difference in these four stories lies in the details. You see what's happening here? The stories are being told, specific, personal narratives about struggles. There's no glorified memory of the perfect life, no Hallmark holiday movie of the perfectly scripted family drama. The starting point of giving thanks is acknowledging that things are not always a piece of pumpkin pie. Masterfully, the psalmist tells stories with which hearers might easily identify, stories which trigger memories of one's own stories. Times when you too might have felt lost. Times when you too might have been sick or felt trapped or have been tossed about on the stormy seas of life. This is stuff that, when it occurred in real time, probably didn't inspire giving thanks. It's more likely that while these stories were unfolding, days were filled with anxiety at best, and with more complaining than giving thanks. Offering thanks to God doesn't mean ignoring or glossing over the presence of difficulty or suffering around us or within us, but cultivating a practice of gratitude sharpens our ability to perceive the presence of God in the midst of it. That is exactly where these shared stories from Psalm 107 go next. Then they cried to the Lord in their distress, and God delivered them from their desperate circumstances. That is the constant refrain of these stories of trouble. No matter what the trouble, God responds to our cries with help and with grace, even when that trouble is caused by our own foolish rebellion. In unfailing love, God is always, always ready to deliver. The wording of these verses is surely intentional. It is repeated exactly the same way in all four stories. Then they cried to God, and God delivered them from their desperate circumstances. There's no gap between the cry and the deliverance. God is ready to deliver. God is eager to deliver. So, being thankful is about more than looking at the stuff you're glad to have in your life. It's seeing your desperate circumstances, seeing the presence of God in the midst of those circumstances, and the deliverance that you have received time and time again at God's hand. Gratitude isn't simply a response to something you have already been given, but rather it is an act of faith, like an empty bowl held up to God, believing that God will continue to fill it, not with the impermanent things we assume we need, but with more of God's self. The psalmist has one goal in telling this collection of four stories. The goal is to trigger a chain reaction in those hearing the stories to recall their own stories, to remember that they were in desperate circumstances, and to remember having experienced the deliverance of God in order to inspire thankfulness in all who hear the stories when they remember their own. So I ask you again, are you ready for Thanksgiving? I know I'm not. Here it is, only a few brief but busy days until Thanksgiving, and my Thanksgiving sermon isn't even finished. Not yet. This is a sermon that awaits and invites your participation. Thanksgiving was never intended to just be an individual practice, but it is best practiced in community. As such, it inspires and invites others to join in the chorus with a gratitude of their own. Let's finish this Thanksgiving sermon together. Those worshiping in person will find sticky notes attached to your morning bulletin. On that note, write a couple of words that give voice to your story of gratitude. During the next hymn, you're invited to come forward and place your sticky note on the poster in the front of the sanctuary where the kids have put theirs. A story that causes you to not only lift your hands in gratitude to God for the stuff you have, but a story that causes you to lift an empty bowl to God, believing with all assurance that God will fill it with more of God's self. Those worshiping virtually are invited to add a few words to the comments of the live stream representing your story of gratitude, and we'll see that it gets added to the poster as well. We are the ones who give God thanks. What would that look like to voice your gratitude? Well, if I was writing another story for Psalm 107, my story might go like this. I was bound in spiraling anxiety, fearing the worst imaginable outcome. I cried to the Lord in my distress. The Lord heard my cry and delivered me from my desperate circumstances and set me down in wide open spaces in the peace of God's steadfast love. So on my sticky note, I wrote, stuck in anxiety, fearing the worst, delivered to wide open spaces of God's peace. We are the ones God has delivered, the ones God has gathered, the ones who truly give thanks to the Lord, because the Lord is good. Amen.